Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight, the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
The comics we'll be talking about are in the August 2009 previews. This stuff should start hitting comic stores around October 2009. And is it just me, or is the cover for the previews with the planetary thing just kind of upside down with the 2009 August thing, you know, in the bottom corner, you know, written upside
down?
Yeah,
it makes no sense, but it's kind of like planetary.
It's confusing. Like, I'm sitting here looking for which month is this again? It's like, and of course we get the last issue of Planetary. That's only been a decade in the making. But there's tons of great stuff in previews. As always, we've got clips from other podcasters and our listeners. We have an open submission policy on that. We welcome input from pretty much anyone who wants to send in a clip. Our goal here is to highlight things that are hidden in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of previews and Marvel previews. We start at the front of the book, we go to the back, we dive into the Marvel previews at, you know, where Marvel, you know, lands in the main section for a page or two. So we dive into its 100 pages. Obviously, we're not going to go page by page, item by item, because that would take years. But, I mean, there's tons of great stuff, and there's something here for everybody. So, why don't we start with Dark Horse and our first pick.
Our first pick is on page 30. We have the Grendel Behold the Devil hardcover. Grendel is a series created by Matt Wagner. He did the first series from Kamiko way back when. And then after doing the first little bit in Grendel, it's a character, but it's also a mantle, and it's been passed on to various different people. The original Grendel that we saw in the Grendel comics was Hunter Rose. And that's all. He's always been my favorite Grendel. Other people have liked Christine Spar and, you know, Brian and some of the other ones, but I've always liked Hunter Rose. And after a while, I mean, there have been a lot of Grendel comics, various Grendel miniseries and Grendel tales and all kinds of comics. Many of which Matt has let other writers and artists play with his character in his universe. And this particular series, Behold the Devil, that's collected here in hardcover for what I believe is the first time in hardcover, is after 10 years, Matt Wagner coming back to write and draw Grendel again, and he's writing Hunter Rose. So this is one of my favorite Grendel series, so I'm definitely going to be picking up this hardcover, and this is one that we here at Comic Book Page recommended for a special discount, and the kind folks at DCBS popped the discount on this particular item up to 50%, so you can get this $19.95 regular list price hardcover for only $9.97. Quite a good deal for a 184-page hardcover.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. Our next pick is on page 37. This is another one. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS. And, of course, we want to thank the kind folks at DCBS for letting us pick some items for additional discounts. And part of why we picked this one is it's Gru, Hogs of Hordor number 1. It's the first issue of a new Gru miniseries. And you just can't go wrong with Gru. I mean, every issue they've ever done has been written by Mark Evanier, drawn by Sergio Aragonés, with Stan Sakai on the inks, Tom Luth on the colors. I get that right. Or one of them letter, right?
Yeah. I think, Stan does letters and Tom does. I think, like, a couple of issues somewhere, Tom missed the colors. But pretty much that same team has been doing every one of the 150, 200, I don't even know how many, you know, once at some point we'll have a Gru number 200 or something. But, I mean, there's been a lot of Gru comics over the years. And the same team has done them all.
Yeah. To have a creative team that's been going on the same property for at least like 20 years, maybe close to 25 now, if not already 25, is just astounding. And, you know, it's consistent quality. If you like one issue of GRU, you will like them all, I think, is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And I like GRU. So,
yeah.
Cannot go wrong with this. I totally recommend it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else relevant to say. I mean, it's $3.99, but, you know, hey, you're getting a top-notch award-winning creative team. I mean, their last mini-series was nominated for an Eisner for the best limited series, and, you know, deservedly so.
Yeah. So our next one, we're going to flip up into the DC Comics, and we've got Arkham Reborn, number one, from David Hine. Now, art and cover on this is by Jeremy Hahn, with actually art and a variant cover by Jeremy Hahn. The regular cover is by Fraser Irving. We talked to David Hine in our interview episode. We were primarily talking to him about his FVZA comic that's coming out from Radical. But since he also had Arkham Reborn number one, we thought we'll talk to him about that also. And this is a follow-up to David's Arkham special that was in the Arkham Asylum one-shot that was in the Battle for the Cowl time frame. And as readers of the Batman universe might recall, Arkham Asylum was, I think it was burned down, and everybody, all the bad guys escaped, you know, and they're all running around now. But Jeremiah Arkham is rebuilding Arkham, and they're repopulating it as the various characters get recaptured, and they will in fact be recaptured. We know that, and Arkham is a very key part of the Batman mythos, and they're kind of restarting it and restructuring it, and there are some new villains that David has created, and I'll just point you to Friday, and we'll talk a little bit more about it there. But if you're interested in Arkham Asylum and you like spotlights on the Batman bad guys, this is a book you might want to check out. DCBS does have a 50% discount on this number one of three issue. And beyond that, we're going to go a couple of pages forward to Detective Comics number 858. This is the beginning of the second Batwoman story arc in Detective by Greg Rucka, with art by the fabulous J.H. Williams III. And this is the origin of Batwoman. And the story arc is called Go. And I am really tremendously looking forward to this one. I was blown away by the first issue, and I read the second issue the other day. 855 continues to impress, and this second arc, I'm really looking forward to seeing the origin of Batwoman. So if you have not checked out Detective Comics with the Batwoman run, I urge you to go out and check these out in the comic shops. 50% discount from DCBS.
Yeah, the art on that first Detective Comics by J.H. Williams III was just amazing. So I'm looking forward to this one, too. Now, our first clip of the month is from Mike Myers. Let's listen to that.
This is Last Minute Mike from the Geek Brunch podcast and the DC Noise podcast. And my first pick of the month in this month's previews is World's Finest Number 1. Written by Sterling Gates, who's knocking it out of the park with Supergirl, with art by Julian Lopez. And this is going to feature team-ups of the various like Superman and Batman mythos. And this one's featuring Red Robin and Nightwing, which ought to be a really interesting team-up. So the blurb reads, after tracking down a threat to the Man of Steel and all of Metropolis, Red Robin must team up with the new Kryptonian Nightwing to end this mysterious threat and rescue Flamebird. But is all this just a red herring to distract the heroes from an even bigger threat to Gotham City and New Krypton? Be sure to find out in this four-issue miniseries from Rising Star Sterling Gates and artist Julian Lopez. I'm really excited for this just because I love all the Batman titles right now and Superman titles. And I recently really enjoyed the Superman-Batman that teamed up Tim Drake with Supergirl. That was a really good issue that just came out. So I'm looking forward to more team-ups, and this looks like it's right up my alley. It's $2.99, four-issue miniseries on page 77. Give it a try. And now back to Bob and John.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this World's Finest also, because, I mean, one, I like the old World's Finest stuff. Two, I like some of the, you know, again, the new Nightwing character. Obviously, you know, Red Robin and, you know, a lot of the Batman Superman characters. I just thought it was funny because when they first said it was going to be the sons of Batman and Superman, I'm like, now, okay, that makes sense for it to be the new Nightwing for Superman's son, but it kind of, you know, was a little unclear to me which Robin character they were going to use on the Batman side, because they could have used Damian just as well. But should be a fun series. I wish they would have shown the cover for the Red Robin version, because I'm curious what that looks like. And the discount through DCBS on this is, I believe, getting it down to, yeah, it's a 75% discount, getting it down to 74 cents. So, kind of hard to go wrong at that price.
Yeah. I'll definitely be checking it out.
Yeah. I'm just debating if I want to get both covers or not. And, you know, not having seen that other cover, kind of hard to decide.
So, I had originally had both covers on my order form. I figured, it's only 74 cents. I might as well get both. And I'm like, you know, I really don't need both covers. I took one of them off. I'm just going to get the one that they showed in previews.
That's pretty much where I'm at, too. But if they'd shown the other one and I'd liked it, they'd have gotten another sale. But this comes down to how they market it. Our next selection is on page 86. We got a 50% discount through DCBS on this, and it's the new issue of Justice League of America, number 38. And this is the start of the new creative team with James Robinson on the writing and Mark Bagley on the art. And this should be pretty good. I'll be honest, I had slightly mixed feelings on the first issue of Cry for Justice, feeling it was all set up and no payoff. So I'm hoping we get a little more meat in each issue of the actual Justice League title, particularly when he starts it up. But, I mean, he's an excellent writer, Robinson. And Bagley, I mean, geez, this guy is just a workhorse of an artist. I mean, he was able to get out, I think at some points, 18 issues a year of Ultimate Spider-Man. And he does a great job. And, you know, the work he did on the last year of on Trinity, you know, he's good, he's consistent, and he's on time. So, you know, this could be the start of a great new era for the Justice League. Hopefully James Robinson won't have the problems that Dwayne McDuffie had, where editorial constraints kind of limited what he could do and what characters he could do it with. Because I think Dwayne McDuffie was also a great writer who I think was either underutilized or improperly utilized on the Justice League. And I think the Justice League title's been floundering for a bit, but this, I think, will get it back on the right track and, you know, should be some great stuff. So definitely something I recommend. And again, 50% off. It'll only cost you $1.49 through DCBS.
And next up, we've got the return to the art on Warlord by Mike Grell. He's been writing this new series, and he will be doing the writing and the art, picking up his pencil for a two-part story arc here in Warlord number 7 and 8. And number 7 that we've got here on page 94 is 50% off from DCBS. And again, that will allow you to pick this issue up for $1.49. If you have not tried Warlord, you've been kind of hesitant, picking up this issue that's got Mike Grell, the creator of Warlord, doing the art on it, might be a good intro and a relatively low-risk way to get and check out Warlord. So I encourage you to give it a thought. And with that, we'll move on to our next entry.
Hey everybody, this is Randy Z with my pick from the DC section of the catalog, and that's on page 96, the DC Comics Classic Library, Shazam! Monster Society of Evil hardcover. This is a great storyline. I've read a few of the stories. I haven't read the entire thing. As a Golden Age freak, I've done a lot of research on different Golden Age characters. Captain Marvel is definitely one of them. This was an extremely popular series. I don't know if you would call this an event or just a serial, but this was in 26 consecutive issues of Captain Marvel Adventures. Now, most of you probably know that Golden Age comics had more than one story in each. Usually, each one had about six different stories. This was one of the stories in 26 consecutive issues of Captain Marvel Adventures, which ran from February of 1943 to May of 1945. So we're talking a little over 2 years for this storyline. Like I said, it was a very popular storyline at that time. He had done other, what I would probably call events prior to that with, Spy Smasher in particular. So this was something that was kind of common to Captain Marvel in the Golden Age, but this was a particularly popular story. So now I don't know if this has anything to do with the Monster Society of Evil storyline that had run within the last year or so. I haven't gotten a chance to read that one yet either, so I don't know. But at any rate, I'm really looking forward to this book. If you are a Captain Marvel fan, I suggest picking this one up. I think you will like it. I know I'm going to. So that's definitely going to be one for me. So anyway, that's my pick. And back to you, Bob and John.
Now, this has not been reprinted in a really long time. They put out a big oversized hardcover of it back. Oh, it must have been 15 or 20 years ago. And it wasn't DC. It was one of the specialty publishing houses. And I ended up getting one as a Christmas present from Janine, like way back when we were first married. And I think even back then it cost like $80 or something. It was like really expensive. But it was, you know, kind of like the size of an Absolute and slipcase like an Absolute. And this is something that, you know, today sells for hundreds and hundreds of dollars if you can find one on eBay. And that was, to my knowledge, the only place this Golden Age story had ever been reprinted before. And I read it, and I'm not tremendously huge. I mean, I like Golden Age, and I love Golden Age DC, and I guess Fawcett by extension stuff more than I tend to like the Golden Age Marvel stuff. But this story was very charming, I guess I'll say. I mean, it was probably my favorite, you know, that's why I like the Captain Marvel character at all. And it really resonated. It's a really pretty good story. And Otto Binder and C.C. Beck doing it, you know, they're really the seminal artists on Captain Marvel. And being able to pick this story up for $20, well, it's $40. We suggested this as a special discount through DCBS. So DCBS customers can pick this up for $20, and it's just, it's a tremendously good deal for this story. And if you're a Captain Marvel fan at all, this is definitely something that should be on your radar.
Sounds good. I'll probably pick that one up, particularly at the $20. Okay, next up, we've got a clip from Trevor.
Hello, this is Trevor Chapman from Brampton, Ontario, Canada, and my first pick for the August 2009 preview spotlight for comics shipping on or around October 2009 is on page 116 in the DC Vertigo section, House of Mystery, Halloween Annual Number 1. I have really been enjoying the House of Mystery. It's reminded me a lot of when I used to read Sandman. It has a lot of the same invoked feelings, and I've really been enjoying it. The concept of House of Mystery is that there's a bunch of people in the House of Mystery, and they tell stories. So there's an overarching story of the people in the House of Mystery, and then in each issue there's an interspersed story about one of those people, usually done in by a different writer with a different art style. The annual doesn't appear to be any differently. The main character, Fig, on the night that they're having their Halloween bash, finds a mask and quickly starts experiencing memories of the of what the mask has gone through. So the main story in this is going to be the party in and around the House of Mystery and Fig finding the mask, and then various creators, such as people from Hellblazer or from Man of Xanadu or various other Vertigo titles, are going to be interspersing the stories that the mask tells. And one of those stories involves Merv Pumpkinhead, one of my favorite characters from the Sandman run. So if you're a fan of the Sandman from all those years ago, a fan of Matthew Sturges, who's the main writer, along with Bill Willingham, the co-creator of the House of Mystery, or you like the House of Mystery itself, I seriously suggest that you pick up House of Mystery Annual Number 1.
Okay, and I share Trevor's love for House of Mystery, and I will definitely be picking that one up also. Next, we're going to move two pages forward to page 118, Madam Xanadu number 16, in a set of really pretty strong books that Vertigo's putting out right now, including House of Mystery, the Fables books, Hellblazers, Always Good, Scalped, Northlanders. Madam Xanadu is currently my favorite. And Matt Wagner is talking about Matt little bit ago when we talked about Grendel. Matt is writing this, and a newcomer, sort of newcomer artist, started with him on first issue of Madam Xanadu. Her name is Amy Reeder Hadley, and she does some just fabulous art. And she took a break for an arc when Mike Kaluta came back and did an arc set in New York City that actually also featured Wesley Dodd's Sandman. A little cameo appearance in Diane Belmont. We're back to Amy Reeder Hadley being on this book. And actually, these guys were nominated for an Eisner for this work. So it's some good stuff. If you have not checked out Madam Xanadu, you can always pick up the first trade. That's very good. That's a little bit more of the history of Madam Xanadu. And now we're kind of up to, you know, more current times, and we're getting more DCU-centric stories, so you can always give this a try. We've got a special discount on this issue, so you can try it out at a 50% discount.
And then jumping over into the Image section, our first pick there is on page 141 of previews. It's Invincible Presents Adam Eve and Rexplode, number 1 of 3. We got a 50% discount through DCBS, so instead of the normal cover price of $2.99, you can get it for $1.49. And this is picking up where the Adam Eve miniseries left off. And basically what these miniseries are doing is just, you know, again, backstory and kind of origin stuff for these characters. Now, this is written by Benito Serrano, not Kirkman himself, but Kirkman is editing the book. And in previous cases where this sort of a thing has happened, like Brit and stuff, it usually comes across with a very strong Kirkman feel to the book. So I don't think you'll be, you know, unhappy with that, with it not being written by Kirkman himself, although it's, you know, unfortunate. I really enjoyed the Adam Eve miniseries. It did a good job kind of giving her origin and backstory, and I'm looking forward to getting both more on her and some background on Rexplode. So this should be pretty good.
And I'm definitely on board for this. And next up is going to be Cowboy Ninja Viking on the next page, 142. And looking at the art here, it looks like we've got a guy who is a cowboy, a ninja, and a Viking all at the same time. It is by A.J. Lieberman, but the thing that really drew me in is that the art and cover by Riley Rossmo, who does the art on Proof. And I really like Riley's art, so we recommended this for a special discount, and this one will be coming in at 50% off. You can try it out and look at page 142 and 143 in the previews catalog, and you can see a little bit of a sample on the art here. But, you know, I somehow doubt this is going to be high art, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's what I'm looking for out of it anyway. And, you know, good enough for me. We'll see how entertaining it is.
Well, and again, I really applaud Image for giving four pages of art previews on these solicits like they're doing here, because that gives you enough to really get a feel for, again, the art style, a little bit of the story, and if it's right for you or not. So it's good for them to do that, because that fourth page of art was what told me if it was for me or not, and I'm going to go with not, but that's just me and my queasiness. But
the fourth page of art is some guy getting his head sliced in half by the ninja sword. So,
yeah, exactly. I can do without that, but that's just me. But if you're into that kind of a thing,
if you like seeing people get their head sliced in half, then check this one out.
Yeah. Okay, next up we got our first clip of the month from Damien. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey guys, it's Damien with my first pick for this month, which is on page 155, which I actually think is actually after where I ended last month's picks from. It's actually Nightmare World, 13 Tales of Terror, Volume 1, Trade Paperback. The story's by Dirk Manning, and the art is actually done by various artists. It's 128 pages for $15.95. Now, it's like a little horror anthology that's actually been put together by Dirk, but there's generally, what, 8-page stories going through there, and there's about 15 different ones or 13 different tales going through there as well, and there is this overall feel that you can actually get throughout the book as well. Now, if you guys have been interested in something like this, you know, just a nice little, you know, 8-page story type thing, you know, to give you, as I've said, with this sort of all sort of linked together, but there's different stories, and it is has got a good Cthulhu type feel to it, as it states in there, in the vein of the Twilight Zone and Tales of the Crypt, so it's got that kind of feel going with it. It actually has been available online from Shadowline for a little while now. They've actually started book 2 on there as well. So if you're interested in it and you want to actually check it out, I'd always say go jump onto the Shadowline website and check it out there. It is a great story. I'm actually halfway through the second book at the moment, just from reading it online, but I really want to get this book because, you know, I love that whole Cthulhu-based type thing, and yeah, it's written really well. So if you haven't seen it before, go check it out online and pick up the trade. Hey, it's only $15.99, you know. It'll be cheaper with DCBS, I'm sure, for you guys overseas, so go and pick it up. Okay, back to the guys.
Okay, and next up for us is another Riley Rossmo book, this time with Alex Grecian. We've got Proof Number 25, and this is a kind of milestone issue on Proof. We've talked about Proof on the show before and probably on the previews. I really like this series. It's kind of like what if... on the X-Files, what if Mulder was a Sasquatch? So that's kind of where it goes. And that's my, I don't know if Alex Grecian would appreciate that or not, but that's my distillation of the series. I really like the series, and it features these guys who are kind of like secret agent type of folks, but they're searching around and trying to solve mysteries related to cryptids. And a cryptid is kind of like Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster. They're any kind of mythical type of creature. You got the Jersey Devil or Chupacabra or any of these kind of things. And there's a storyline running right now called the Cryptid War. And this issue... and that will end in issue number 24. And this number 25 is a year in the future. And, you know, what is the deal? What's the new status quo after the end of the Cryptid War? And this is a special extra long issue. It's 48 pages. It's $5. We've got a 50% discount on this one through DCBS. So you'll be able to pick this one up for $2.50. And if you've not checked out Proof, I would urge you to go out and try to find, you know, you should be able to find or order the first trade. And that's something that'll tell you if you love the series or not. If you're like me, you will. And then you'll start picking up the other trades. And maybe you'll want to jump on it monthly here with number 25. So
now, one thing that's worth mentioning with this title is, you know, it is issue 25, which in some cases might seem a little early for a kind of a double-sized issue or whatnot, but I think it's totally deserved here because this book, as far as I can recall, is coming out monthly like clockwork and is frankly one of the higher-numbered Image titles other than, say, Spawn, Walking Dead, or, you know, something of that nature. So, you know, Proof is, I think, gotten its legs very well under it and is looking like it'll be around for quite some time. So if this is the kind of thing you like, you know, this kind of look into the supernatural and stuff like that, it's an excellent book and, you know, one well worth supporting and one that, again, is coming out like clockwork and has a really good chance of sticking around for another 25 or 100 issues easily. And I'm very happy to see that, and, you know, the creative team should be congratulated on the success they've had so far. Okay, next up we're going to jump into the Marvel previews. We're going to go to page 31. We're going to take a look at Daredevil 501. We've got a 50% discount on this, and this is the start of a new creative team. We've got Andy Diggle taking over the writing, and we've got Roberto De La Torre taking over on the art. Obviously, Andy Diggle's done a number of things, Thunderbolts recently, among others, and Roberto De La Torre has done Iron Man. And I'm really curious how smooth of a transition this is going to be. I thought the transition between, you know, the last creative team and the one before it was one of the smoothest handoffs Marvel's done in ages. And they're saying here that the events of issue 500, you know, leave Matt Murdock in a place, you know, making him forced to make a very hard decision, and this is a radically different chapter in Daredevil's adventures. And it may be a radically different, you know, type of adventure and chapter, but it could still be a very smooth transition into there. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this and, you know, curious again how smooth it's going to be and what direction they take the character in. So this should be fun. It's a $2.99 cover price, which is good because sometimes after these big, you know, milestone events, Marvel kind of sneaks in a price increase, but they're not doing that here. Again, 50% off. It'll only set you back $1.49 through DCBS. Now, our next pick in Marvel is from Randy. Let's listen to that.
Hey, everybody. Randy Z again with a pick from the Marvel catalog, page 34, Captain America Theater of War, Ghosts of My Country. Now, I've really been enjoying these Theater of War books. They seem to have kind of a different take on Captain America. They look at things from a couple of different angles, and I've really been liking them. The artwork's been great. The storylines are fantastic. And just because of that fact, I'm going to pick this one up, too. This one looks to be a little different. I'm not sure where they're planning on going with it from the little blurb in the solicit. So I'm going to wait and see what happens. So anyway, if you're a Captain America fan, or if you've been enjoying these Theater of War books, definitely pick it up. You might want to give it a try anyway if you're not trying it. But anyway, that's it. Back to Bob and John.
Next up, we're going to take a look at page 50, and that's Mighty Avengers number 30. This is the epic battle with the Unspoken. We covered the first chapter of this story arc recently on the Weekly Comics Spotlight, and I think both of us really enjoyed it. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
No, I was a really big fan of it, and I'm looking forward to seeing this conclusion where it looks like everybody under the sun is going to be joining in to help take this guy down. So that's why we picked this.
I mean, we get Mighty Avengers, New Avengers, Young Avengers, Dark Avengers. Who knows? We may even get a couple of West Coast Avenger alumni tossed in. Well, obviously we get at least one with Hawkeye, whatever name he's going by this issue. So, I mean, that should be fun. They did a really strong start to that story. They've got a very credible threat that they set up with the Unspoken. And, you know, Dan Slott is doing a great job on this. Christos Gage is also a great writer. So, I mean, this should be a fun, you know, epic battle, which, you know, we get a lot of crossovers. We get a lot of, you know, big, heavily populated fight scenes. But, I mean, it's been a while since I think we've gotten a really epic battle where we feel there's some heavy stakes, and we get more than just a splash page of, yep, people are fighting. So hopefully we'll get some, I almost want to say some good fight choreography here or something, but something that warrants having all the Avengers here that lives up to kind of the expectations I've got based on the opening chapter of this storyline. And it should just be a lot of good fun. 50% discount through DCBS, and that puts it to, again, $1.49, because it's a $2.99 comic. So, should be good. Definitely worth checking out. And again, the first part of this story arc we covered recently, so it should probably still be on the stands at your local comic book store. All right, next up, we've got two clips from Trevor. Let's listen to those.
Hello, it's Trevor Chapman again, and for my second pick for the August 2009 previews, you can turn to page 68 of your Marvel Previews insert. X-Force New Mutants Necrosha One-Shot. Selene is returning to the X-Universe, and for those of you that don't remember or don't know, Selene was for the longest time the Black Queen of the Hellfire Club, a long-standing enemy of the X-Men that was started back in the era of Chris Claremont and has shown up in just about every incarnation of the X-Men since. Selene is basically an undead person who can siphon off energy from various people, and it looks like she's bringing the dead back to life. If you look at the lovely two-page spread here, it looks almost like the technovirus has something to do with this, because all these people seem to be techno-infected, which adds an interesting twist. The primary reasons that I'm interested in this, beyond being an X title, is that it's being written by Craig Kyle and Christopher Yost, along with Zeb Wells and Mike Carey. Craig Kyle and Christopher Yost have been doing an excellent job with all the X titles that they have been writing lately, and they're probably most noted outside the direct comic scene for being the principal writers for the Hulk versus movies and a lot of the animated stories that are brought out through the Marvel animated line. And the pencils is being done by none other than Clayton Crane. Now, pencils is a loose term because Clayton does all of his work on computer using Photoshop or some program there like. But I like the dark, moody edginess that he brings to the X-Men at this time. And from the looks of this, it's going to be a lot of undead people with a lot of fire, and nobody draws undead flaming people like Clayton Crane does. So, if you're interested in the X-Men or just in seeing who Selene is and what she's about, please try out X-Force New Mutants Necrosha One-Shot. Hello, it's Trevor Chapman again, and my third pick for the August 2009 preview special you can find on page 72 of the Marvel's Previews insert. Deadpool number 900. Yes, you did hear me correct. Deadpool number 900. Along with the other number 600 issues that have come out this summer, such as Spider-Man, the Hulk, Thor, this is 104 pages for $4.99. I'm a recent convert to Deadpool because I remember Deadpool when he was first brought out and I thought he was just an annoying pain in the butt. But I've recently picked up the new Deadpool title, mostly because my son thought he was neat after seeing him in the Hulk versus animated movie. And I've really been enjoying that title. So I'm going to definitely give this a consideration. I think the primary reason that I want to pick this up is the end of the previews ad that says, "And chill as CSI investigators at a blood-splattered crime scene attempt to piece together why this particular unsub needed battery cables, Crisco oil, three stacks of adult magazines, and a live chicken to pull off the hit." It is that irreverence and comedy and just having fun and humor that really makes me like the new Deadpool series, and I'm really looking forward to this issue 900. So if you like something that's irreverent and funny and wisecracking and just crazy, I definitely suggest you try out Deadpool number 900.
Yeah, I think both of these picks should be fairly interesting. The X-Force New Mutants Necrosha, you know, should be good, and it looks like it's going to have, you know, ramifications in the various X-books. And then, you know, I kind of think it's funny that Marvel's kind of poking fun at itself with this whole 900 issue of Deadpool. So I'm enjoying the Deadpool series. I'm about six issues behind because I finally got the issues I need to catch up on that. But I don't say it's an acquired taste. Either you like Deadpool or you don't, and it's got kind of a breaking of the fourth wall, sort of, but not in the traditional sense. And either you, again, like that kind of approach to the humor, or it just doesn't work for you. But if it works for you, get it.
I kind of fall on the doesn't category. I'm gonna try the number 900. We'll probably talk about it on the show. I haven't looked at Deadpool in a really long time, so I'll give it another shot. I have kind of pulled out of the X universe almost entirely, except for our next pick. If you want to say more about Deadpool.
Well, I was gonna say it's a fine line between Deadpool being funny or Deadpool being obnoxious and annoying. And it's sometimes they cross the line in either direction. So I'll be curious what you think of 900. But I can totally understand why the book's not for use in a lot of cases.
You know, so. I keep on trying X books. I can stick with them for about 6 months, and then I end up dropping them. And just this month, I've dropped Uncanny and Astonishing. Well, and I just don't care.
Go into that X-Force New Mutants Necrotia thing that Trevor was just talking about. This is something that I think if you're not kind of hip deep in the X corner of the universe, if you're not kind of up to speed on X-Force or not up to speed on New Mutants, or even if you are on one but not both, potentially this could be a almost impenetrable story just because there's so many characters flying around and there's so much kind of implied backstory in the X corner of the universe that it can be hard to get into at times.
This is a book for X-Men fans, is what it is. And I mean, I think that's, you know, if you're a huge X-Men fan, you should buy Necrotia. I looked at it and said, wow, they're going to be bringing a lot of characters back to life who I'm not going to know who any of them are. Mm-hmm. I'm probably not going to care who any of them are. And, you know, so I skipped it. But that's not a knock against the book. I mean, it's just, I'm not a big X-Men universe fan. So the only book I continue to get in X universe, which I love, is Peter David's X-Factor. And I think that's probably got a lot more to do with Peter David than it has to do with the X-Men corner of the universe. If Peter stops writing this book, I will be off it immediately. You know, I'm getting this book because Peter David writes it. And this number 50 is the double-sized conclusion to the year-long storyline that he's been trying to revitalize X-Factor. And, you know, he wanted to triple the sales. I don't think that that's happened. I'm not sure that it's even gone up much at all, but it hasn't been. I mean, has it at least not been plummeting as much as other similar titles?
Well, he most certainly has not tripled the sales, but, I mean, frankly, there was no way he was going to be able to do that on this property, because that tripling the sales would have made it a top-selling book, and that would have put it above, you know, hotter properties with, frankly, hotter creators. I mean, don't get me wrong, Peter David is got a long, excellent track record, but for some reason he doesn't have that name cachet that, you know, Brian Michael Bendis or some of these other writers do. But what he has succeeded on, I think, is revitalizing the story at a creative level, because I think people are, you know, more excited about the book, and I think he's kind of really stabilized the sales. Not to say that it's leveled off or even gone up, but the level of attrition has gotten to be, you know, again, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but fairly minor, and nothing to be alarmed about. It's certainly not plummeting. It's certainly, you know, seeming to be kind of, you know, solidifying the base readership, I guess. And that's a good start. And if he can continue, you know, really doing some top-notch story, which I mean, frankly, he's been doing the whole run. I mean, he's doing great stuff. If he can keep kind of the story momentum he's really been building up and ending on very strong notes every issue, pulling people into that next issue, if he can do that for another year or so, there is a very good chance he could start increasing the sales. But, you know, he's fighting, you know, attrition, which is such a common problem for comic book sales.
What I worry about with this series is the exact thing that I love about it and the reason I'm reading it is I think what's working against it growing with the the major fan base. So, I mean, one, it does have an X in the title, so a lot of people that don't read X books are just not going to give it a look. But on the other hand, it is wildly different in tone and pacing and a lot of things than the other X books. And I think it's one that a lot of hardcore, not certainly not all, but I think a lot of hardcore X fans get all the X books except this one. You know,
it would be hilarious is if he did basically these same types of stories, but did it with, you know, a book called B-Vengers, and do it with B-list Avengers, to where you're not feeling like you're hooked into the X corner of the universe. You're dealing with maybe some slightly better known characters. But frankly, I mean, the stories he's telling are not so hooked into, I mean, certainly they're hooked into these characters, don't get me wrong. But the nature of the story, the basic style and stuff, isn't part and parcel of being a mutant half the time. I mean, there's certainly aspects of that. But, you know, I think you're right that one of the things working against this is it is an X book, and a lot of people, and understandably so, feel that either you're in the X corner of the universe or you're not. And if you're not, you're not going to pick this up. And if you are, this is far enough on the edges, you still may not pick this up. So it's one of these, it's not quite fish nor fowl of is it an X book or not. And that does, I think, put a ceiling on its sales to a degree.
Right.
But I'd love to see him try to do this same sort of thing with Marvel characters outside of the X franchise, just to see how that would do. Because that's something I could easily see, particularly with the Avenger titles being near the top of the sales charts often. You know, he could easily do at least twice the sales of X-Factor with the same quality and style of story, which is just crazy.
Right.
Okay, next up, we've got a clip from Mike Myers. Let's listen to that.
Mike Myers again with the Marvel pick this month, and it is going to be Time Storm 2009-2099 hardcover. On page 89 of the Marvel previews, it's written by Brian Reed, penciled by Eric Battle and Wesley Craig, covers by Paul Renaud. And I basically read the first issue of this series because it was on sale cheap on DCBS, and I really liked it. And rather than commit to the series in monthly, I decided to get it in trade or hardcover. So I'm going to jump on board. This is 144 pages, $24.99. You'll probably get it for like 50% or 40% off at DCBS. But what this is 2009 meets 2099. So if you were into Spider-Man 2099, Punisher 2099, or any of those figures, this really fits into that universe, and the style of writing actually fits into this universe. I was really surprised how well it did, and that's why I'm buying this. So the blurb reads, 2009 meets 2099. Future history has been shattered by events in the present. If you think you know the heroes and villains from Marvel's Dark Future, writer Brian Reed and artist Eric Battle say it's time to think again. Get ready for the reimagined 2099 versions of Spider-Man, Ghost Rider, the X-Men, and more. And like I said, the Punisher is definitely in the first issue. So it collects 2009-2099 1-4 miniseries, along with Time Storm, 2009-2099 X-Men, and Spider-Man. So you're getting 6 issues. So give it a shot. Again, this is Mike Myers, and thanks, Bob and John, for letting me do this. I appreciate it. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
I've read all but the final issue of the Time Storm 2009-2099. I've read the X-Men and the Spider-Man one-shots. And I'm really enjoying this. And the basic premise is the Punisher from 2099 gets sent back in time, I think maybe accidentally or whatever, and, you know, there are some time changes and stuff, and Spider-Man and Wolverine wind up in the future. And this is a reimagining of some of the 2099 stuff, but this is still the Jake Gallos Punisher, it's still the Miguel O'Hara Spider-Man in the future, but there are some tweaks and ramifications and stuff like that. It's not a complete toss-it-out-and-redo-it thing, which they kind of sort of did when Kirkman, I guess it was, redid the 2099 universe at one point. this is going back to the original 2099 stuff. But again, updating and revising some stuff. I'm really enjoying it. I think it's a lot of fun. And seeing, Spider-Man and Wolverine interacting with their future kind of counterparts and other characters, ton of fun. So I second this recommendation. DCBS has it at a 40% discount, so it will be $14.99 through them. Now, rounding out the picks from Marvel for this month, we've got one more from Randy. Let's listen to that.
Hey folks, it's me again, Randy Z, with another pick from the Marvel catalog, page 102, Marvel Adventures, The Avengers, volume 10, Invasion Digest. I was a little skeptical about these books at first. I thought maybe they may be for a younger crowd than myself. But I thought I'd pick one up probably about 3 months ago, and I read it, and I thought they were pretty good. They're not very sophisticated, per se, simple storylines, but, sometimes that's what you want. You tend to get a little tired of the Dark Reign and all the doom and gloom and four different Avengers books, which I'm buying anyway. But these are kind of a nice little break from that. There's a couple of the stories that have been really stupid, but the rest have been fairly good. It's worth picking it up for a diversion. So if you're looking for something like that, or if you've got kids that this would definitely be great for kids. So if you've got kids that you want to get interested in comic books or the Avengers, this is definitely something to grab. So that's my pick, and back to you, Bob and John.
Okay, that takes us out of the Marvel previews, but before we jump into the back half of previews, we want to cover one item that you can get through DCBS and probably a few other channels. But unfortunately, one of them is not previews, which is a horrible, horrible oversight or bad decision or something on Diamond's part, and that's Jedha: Tales of the Toshigawa Crucible, number one. It's a $3.99 comic from our friend Anton Wade, and this is, what, the fourth one-shot in the series, I believe?
Fourth or fifth.
Anton does some great stuff. It's the series is focused on Shiandra Toshigawa, a.k.a. Jedha, from the Toshigawa clan, and she's kind of the chosen one who's got to protect Earth from an impending invasion of a demon army. And, in this installment, Crucible, before she can save the world, she's got to save herself. She's got to prove, she's one of Japan's deadliest warriors. And, it's a really fun series, and one that I'm shocked that Diamond hasn't picked it up and put it in previews yet. I'm very disappointed in Diamond on that. DCBS has it at a 50% discount, so it'll only set you back $1.99. These tend to be 48 page prestige format, correct? Yeah. 48 or 64. Anyways, longer than your average comic, well worth picking up, and I feel you definitely get your money's worth. Again, you can get this through DCBS. You can also, I would imagine, be able to get it through Anton's website.
And I believe Haven, it's like stores can order
Haven,
it through Haven.
Haven does carry it, yes. That's a good thing. I'd forgotten about that.
And I know Heroes Corner's got it also. I remember Ian talking about it. He buys through Heroes Corner. So it is available through a variety of mechanisms. But I can pretty much guarantee you that if you don't ask for it or order it yourself online, you're not going to see it sitting on a shelf. So, ask about it or just go ahead and order it.
Okay, next up, we've got our first pick from Damien from the back half of the book. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again from the Cryptographic Podcast with my second pick for this month, which is out of Archaea Studio Press, and it is The God Machine by Chandra Free. She's the writer and the artist on this book. Now, it is a really interesting concept of this sort of thing. Back in the day, I was right into Gloom Cookie. You know, I've always been a fan of the Vasquez stuff, like the Johnny the Homicidal Maniac, I Feel Sick, Roman. I've been interested in sort of Roman Dirge's Lenore-type characters and things like that. Well, this fits into this realm as well. It is sort of like your gothy type of book there. It has got a great big humor element going through the whole thing, where you actually have, you know, little comments coming from creatures. Sort of, yeah, this is where it sort of has that feeling of Lenore for it, or maybe Squee or something like that, where you get that whole feel with it there. A really interesting story where you've got Guy Salvador's girlfriend Sif has died, and he can't get through a morning without the monsters coming out of the bathroom mirror. Every time he falls asleep, sort of something starts to happen to him. So he's rarely sleeping at all these days, which just leads down a deeper and darker path until he actually meets up with Satan, who has an offer for him. It is phenomenal art. I love Chandra's art. If you haven't seen my avatar on the forum, she's the one who actually did that for me as well. So really, if you like the look of that, I'll always go over to SpookyShandra.com and actually check out some previews from the book as well. If you're at San Diego, she actually had a ash can from there, and I got mine in the mail the other day, so I'm going to be reading that over the weekend. Okay then, I'll let you guys go back to Bob and John, and honestly, page 196, 395, pick up the God Machine. Okay, back to the guys. Hey guys, it's Damien back again with my third pick for this month, and it is on page 201, again from Archaea. It is Starkweather Immortal Hardcover. This has David Rodriguez doing the writing on it, and Patrick McAvoy actually doing the art from it, and also for issue zero, which is actually in this collection, Pierce Anthony actually wrote that one for them, or worked on the story, and it was adapted for them. It looks to be a really interesting book, actually. It is all about sort of witches are hunting people. There's 12 great houses. It's got this whole great sort of fantasy aspect to it, which really fits with Patrick's art. If you hadn't seen his art before, if you're not sure if you've seen his art before, he's actually done some art on role-playing games like Call of Cthulhu, and also he did actually some of the Fall of Cthulhu stuff for Boom, some of the covers for that. Probably my favourite cover, actually, one with the sort of, you know, ballerina girl dancing in the middle of a post-apocalyptic world with a gas mask on. But apart from that, he's got some really phenomenal art in there. This is really worthwhile picking up. You know, it's a hardcover for $19.95, 144 pages. It's collecting the whole thing there. Now, I'm not sure if this had actually came out from issues before, but I, you know, after actually seeing some of the art for it and seeing the covers for it, it just looks to be something that's phenomenal. And I generally don't go for books just on their art. I usually go for the story, but this one's really caught my eye and something that I want to pick up. So, as I said, page 201, 1995, Starkweather Immortal Hardcover. Okay, back to Bob and John.
This did come out in issues. I'm not sure if the last issue came out or if the last issue is only going to be available in this hardcover. I'd have to look into that. I did buy the first several issues of this, and I can confirm Damien's statement that it does have really nice art, and it's a pretty cool story too. So if you've never checked this out, it is a relatively economical way to get a hold of this one. It's not that expensive. You know, I think Archaea does a pretty nice job on hardcovers. Their hardcovers are usually not that expensive. They're quite competitively priced with what Marvel or DC puts out, and for $20, this is a pretty good deal as a hardcover package. They also do a nice package for their hardcovers at Archaea. We're next going to move up to page 208. We've got Hatter M, The Looking Glass Wars. This is volume 2 of the Hatter M story. Now, for people who are not familiar with Hatter-M, this is a character that spun out of Frank Bedore's novel series. He has a novel series called The Looking Glass Wars, strangely enough. The first volume was called The Looking Glass Wars. The second volume was called Seeing Red. And then the third volume will be coming out in the fall. And I think that will complete the arc. But this is kind of interesting because the Hatter-M story spins out of the first novel. This basic idea behind Looking Glass Wars is it's got, you know, Princess Alice, and in Wonderland there's the big war that's going on and everything with her aunt Red, who's trying to take things over. And Alice, at one point in the first book, she goes through this pool and she ends up in the mundane world of Earth. And Hatter-M, who's her personal bodyguard and a member of the Millinery Guild, but I mean, these guys are like just crazy fighters. I mean, they're like these ninja level fighters, and he goes after her to protect her. And it turns out that he gets dropped into the mortal world at a different location than her. So he has to seek her out. Now, in the book, that happens relatively quickly, and they just move on with the story. But Hatter-M's travels through the mortal, the mundane world, are actually detailed in these comic book series. And the first one came out as a four-issue comic book series with art by Ben Templesmith, and then it was collected in the first volume of the Hatter-M trade. And now this second one, this one went direct to the graphic novel format. So there were no individual issues. If you want to read the continuing adventures here, you're going to pick up this volume. And this is written by Frank Bedore. It's got art by Liz Cavalier. I will say I have this book because Frank was selling them in San Diego. He had some advanced copies, so I'm not going to need to order this one through previews. I've already got one in my hot little hands, and it is really nice. And if this sounds interesting at all to you, I would encourage you to check it out. Now, the best way to check it out, of course, is, you know, I would say start with the first volume, which is available, or even pick up one of the novels and read it. You know, you can get the novels off of Amazon. You can probably find them at your local Borders or Barnes & Noble bookstore. But this particular volume is simultaneous release in softcover and hardcover. We've got a 40% discount on it through DCBS. You can pick up the softcover for $14.95. That's only going to set you back $8.97. And the hardcover is $24.99. That'll only set you back $14.99. So, I can't be enthusiastic enough about this. This is one of my favorite novel series that I'm reading, you know, prose-wise, and being able to see the, you know, kind of graphic realization of extra stuff that's not just an adaptation of stuff that I already read in the novel is really unique with this one. So, with that, we'll, kind of going on a little bit long there, we're going to move on to our next choice, which is a really good one from Frank.
Frank Rincon here from A Half Hour Wasted Podcast, and I wanted to talk about Bart Simpson Comics number 50 in this month's previews, mostly because Sergio Aragonés, and for those of you who are not familiar, Sergio wrote for Mad Magazine and for a comic book called Gru. What captured my eye on this one is just Sergio has a very unique style, and when I saw the sample artwork or the sample page in this month's previews, it really kind of got me interested in it. So I'm thinking about picking this up because it looks like it might be fun. And Sergio has a really kind of whimsical, fun way of writing and telling stories. It also got my mind working as to who else would be an interesting artist to put on The Simpsons. Not for a whole storyline, but, you know, just for something kind of different and interesting. And I thought, what if you put Alex Ross on a Simpsons comic book? What would that be like? That'd be like crazy. I wouldn't even know what it would look like. But let your imagination run wild with that one. Alex Ross on The Simpsons. So, that's Sergio on Bart Simpson Comics, number 50. Suggested retail price is $2.99 and 32 pages, full color. Guys, have a good show, and I'll talk to you later. This is Frank, signing off.
Okay, and now we're going to move up into Boom Comics. And the first thing I want to talk about, we're going to talk about a couple of Uncle Scrooge properties. Boom did get the Disney license. I think we talked about one of their Disney books last month. And one of the things they're reprinting here is Don Rosa's The Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck. This is going to be in a two-volume hardcover. Volume 1 is solicited here this month on page 231. This is really the definitive Uncle Scrooge story. And this is, you know, I love the Uncle Scrooge character. I've read all the Carl Barks stuff, and I love Carl Barks. Carl is the master, but Don Rosa is the, I guess, completely justified successor to Carl Barks' mantle as the master craftsman for Duck stories. And this Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck is a masterpiece, in my opinion. And this is the book where if you never have read Uncle Scrooge and you're just totally mystified as to why people seem to have an attachment to Uncle Scrooge and why people like Uncle Scrooge, if you read The Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck, that should pretty much tell you why people like Uncle Scrooge. And it is the perfect example of why Uncle Scrooge is cool. And if you can read The Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck and you don't like it, well, then that pretty much tells you that you're not going to like any of this stuff. You know, this is the best form of this that you can find. So this month is good because there are just several books that just have me so excited that I'm just, you know, pumped about. I think you can tell I'm just going on about this, but if you've never read this before, this would be a fabulous way for you to pick up this story. Highly, highly recommended.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pick that up. Now, that's the first volume of two, maybe, for the...
Yeah, it's two volumes. All right.
So remind
me... It ran like 10, 12 chapters, I forget, but it was a pretty lengthy story. And it starts when Scrooge is a kid in Scotland, and it goes all the way through his life, you know, when he's a young man and he goes to America and he goes to the Klondike, and, you know, it just follows his whole life story from when he's young to when he's the character we're familiar with now.
Cool. Definitely pick that up. The other thing I'm going to pick up is on page 222 for the ad, and I guess 232 for the solicit, and that's Uncle Scrooge 384. This is the first issue by Boom, and basically, you know, they're continuing, you know, telling a lot of the classic Disney, you know, Uncle Scrooge stories. It doesn't say who's writing and stuff the stories in this particular issue, but DCBS has this at a 45% discount. They also have the Donald Duck and Friends issue this month, which is the first Boom one, at a 45% discount. I ordered both the Disney Kids stuff going through Boom last month, the first issues. I'm going to order the first Boom issues of Donald Duck and Uncle Scrooge, give those a try, see what I think. And I really applaud Boom for going for grabbing this property, and doing a very strong, you know, kids appropriate, you know, line of books between this, the Muppet stuff, the Incredibles, the Pixar stuff.
I mean, there are now comics for kids, thanks to Boom.
Yeah.
You know, it just, I love it. And I love the fact that they're holding that they're putting the price for the kids' comics at $2.99, even though normal Boom comics are $3.99. You know, they're making every attempt, and I really applaud these guys. They're really doing what they can. And, you know, it's so far from what I've seen of it, because I've picked up The Incredibles and, you know, I get a lot of the normal Boom books, and I'm definitely going to be trying out some of these Disney ones. But they're doing a really nice job on these books.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you add this to the rest of what they're coming out with the original properties, the licensed properties, and Boom has just got an amazing lineup of titles. And if you can't find something you like just from Boom, look a little harder, because there's got to be something there.
Yeah, and any listeners out there who have kids, younger kids, I mean, you should really be thinking about, I mean, these are great comics to get the kids into comics on. I mean, the superheroes are good too, but, you know, when my kids were like 4 or 5, I wouldn't necessarily want to, you know, have them, I definitely wouldn't want them, you know, seeing, you know, like The Thing crush somebody's head, or, you know, somebody getting their head blown off, or, you know, something like that in superhero comics. So, these books are a good entry into that. And another one, now I'm looking at the same page, that's you've got a Walt Disney's Christmas Classics Volume 1 hardcover that's got a lot of the classic Christmas stories. That would be a great book to get if you've got little kids particularly. It's a hardcover, and you can just keep that with your Christmas stuff, and you can pull that out and read your kids those stories at Christmas time. You know, and that's another one, and that's got a special DCBS discount on it also. So a lot of good stuff from Boom this month to check out.
Well, and it's also worth noting there on 233, they've got Walt Disney Comics and Stories number 700. And, of course, this has been keeping the numbering through the various publishers that have been doing it over the years, or over the decades, really. But this is the third, it says it's the third longest running comic book series in the direct market behind Detective and Action Comics. And that means it's got more issues than Captain America, Amazing Spider-Man, Thor, and of course most of the other stuff published by, you know, well, everybody. So, I mean, this stuff is time tested. So definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I'm actually getting that number 700 also, so.
Yeah, I saw that, and it's like, oh, I'll pick that up, too. I'm debating if I want to get that Mickey Mouse and Friends also, because it's continuing the story from, I guess, the issue I ordered last month.
Yeah.
So. Our next clip takes us into Devil's Due. Let's listen to that.
This is Mike Myers again, and my last pick is going to be Jericho Season 3 Civil War, number 1 of 6. This is a continuing story from the TV show published by Devil's Due on page 236. I was a big fan of the TV show, and one of my favorite characters in the show is Hawkins. The blurb reads that Jake and Robert Hawkins are in the safe haven of Texas with the last remaining warhead from the devastating attack on America. As the Cheyenne army bears down on them, they must decide whether to side with the mysterious figure, possibly their former enemy, to fight an even greater one. And this series was basically about a bunch of nuclear bombs that went off in the United States. And following that, a bunch of small cities and stuff formed factions, and there were mercenaries and all that kind of stuff going on. But it was basically a civil war that was going on across the United States. And we never really found out who was pulling the strings, and maybe we will find out with this particular series. The writers are Dan Schultz and Robert Levine. They're the series writers, so that ought to be very interesting. The artist is Algeredro Girolabo. Man, did I butcher the hell out of that, but sorry about that. Cover artist is Scott West, and if you get... There also is a photo cover available, and cover B, so you can order that cover if you're interested in the photo cover. That one costs more. The cover price for this particular book is $3.99 if you want the regular cover, or if you want the picture cover, the limited cover, it's going to be $9.99. and it's going to be a monthly series for 6 issues, and hopefully Devil's Due knocks this book out on time. But I'll be very interested to see what they do with this TV show, especially being that it is the writers of the series continuing on, letting us know what the story is. And my wife will probably want to read this because we both watched the TV show together. And again, this is Mike Myers with Geek Brunch Podcast and DC Noise Podcast, that can be found at DCNoisePodcast.com or GeekBrunchPodcast.com. And thanks again, John and Bob, for letting me do this. I'm sorry I'm last minute. And it won't happen again. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Yeah, Mike kind of snuck his submissions in right under the wire, but hey, we're happy to have them, so thanks for sending them in, Mike. Okay, next up, we've got another clip from Randy. Let's listen to that.
Hey there, everybody. This is Randy Z, back once again for a pick out of the big book on page 265, Comic Book Comics, number 4. Haven't had a chance to read this yet, but I've been hearing a lot of good things about it. This issue in particular is where they get into the Marvel age of comics. Should be interesting on what their take is on that and how that translates into a comic book. I'm very, very curious. Also, they tend to talk about the underground comic revolution in this issue. I was a big underground comic collector back in the day, so curious to see what they say. So, with all the good things I've heard about it, I'm going to recommend it. I've already got issues 1 through 3 in my wish list at my comic shop, so I'm going to be continuing this series. So, that's my pick. Thanks again, and back to Bob and John.
I don't follow comic book comics myself. Do you read that one, Bob?
I do. It's similar to, well, they did the previous one, Action Philosophers, and it's a really cool series because they take this it's almost like a successor, and I don't know how many people have read this, but Larry Gonick did this series called The Cartoon History of the World, also, and it's got like factual type of information, but presented in kind of a humorous, almost kind of Sergio Aragonés style. You know, cartoony kind of framework. And Action Philosophers, you know, you'd have stories about, you know, Friedrich Nietzsche and, you know, Immanuel Kant and, you know, whatever other philosophers, you know, are running around. And it was just a really interesting book. Now, Comic Book Comics is really examining the history of comics. And what you got instead of the philosophers in this one is you got various, you know, old-timey comic book creators going around, and it's about them creating and making comics. And this issue in particular, the cover seems to be a take on Fantastic Four number 1, but Stan Lee, a big giant Stan Lee, is that giant mole monster coming out of the ground, and, you know, it's just got these kind of characters in it. So it's fun. It's kind of a take on picking up that kind of history of comics through the lens of Fred Van Lente. So I'm entertained by it.
Cool. Okay, we've got another pick from Trevor. Let's listen to that.
Hello, it's Trevor Chapman, and for my last pick for the August 2009 previews, you can turn to page 271 in the beginning of the IDW publishing area. Bloom County, The Complete Library, Volume 1. For those of you that are not aware, Bloom County was a daily and weekly comic strip that was written by Berkeley Breathe in syndicated newspapers from the early 80s until the late 90s, if I remember correctly. It tells the story of a bunch of people who live in a Midwestern world, and it has great sarcasm and pokes great fun at the presidents of the time, the politics of the time, and some of the technology of the time. For most people, you would be most familiar with the characters from Bloom County with either Opus the Penguin or Bill the Cat. I'm certain everybody has either seen one of those two people on a t-shirt at some point in their life, maybe not recognizing who they were. This Complete Library Volume Number 1 is a hardcover book that is 11 by 8.5, so it's a sideways book as opposed to a standard upright book, which is a neat way to present the format, because the comic strips are wide, because they're the 4-panel or 3-panel comics that you would have gotten in the newspapers at that time. And it collects every strip from December 8th, 1980 through September 26, 1982 in chronological order. I own a lot, if not all, of the Bloom Counties that were published to this point, but I'm seriously considering picking up these. My son's been reading them, and he finds them quite fun. So if you're looking for a sarcastic, enjoyable slice of the 80s, I would suggest that you seriously consider picking up these hardcovers. This is the first of, I'm guessing, many volumes, as they're going to ultimately collect everything that Berkeley Breathe had done in the Bloom County era. So with that, I'd like to say thank you, John and Bob, for the great podcast that they bring to us every week, and for letting us have a voice on this, the previous podcast. So thank you, gentlemen, and we'll talk to you in a month.
Thanks, Trevor. And I will add that Bloom County, and this is not a knock on Bloom County because I love Bloom County, but it's kind of like, to me, it's like Doonesbury Light. It's not as, you know, hardcore political, but it does have kind of the political satire like Doonesbury. Yeah, I loved Bloom County when it was coming out.
And this is the first of 5 volumes.
Of 5 volumes.
So, I was not a huge Bloom County fan. I didn't dislike it at all. It's tempting to consider picking this up.
Yeah, this is a similar format that what I, you know, he mentioned it as that sideways format. That's the same size and format that IDW is using for, it used for the Terry and the Pirates run that came out in 6 volumes. I have those, Little Orphan Annie that they're putting out. This is the format that they use for comic strips. And as Trevor pointed out, it's a good format for reading comic strips.
Yeah. Smart format for that.
Next pick, also from IDW, on page 280, is Rocketeer, The Complete Adventures. Now, Rocketeer, a lot of people might only be familiar with this character from the Disney movie that was made. And don't get me wrong, I like the Disney movie. The Disney movie was just fine. But whether you liked or didn't like the Disney movie, the actual comic is something else entirely from the Disney movie. The comic is, you know, when you hear people talk about Dave Stevens reverently, and Dave passed away last year, much too young. But when you hear people reverently talk about Dave Stevens, who in my opinion is one of the masters of comics, Rocketeer is why. I mean, this is his seminal creation. He created this, and it didn't really even run that long. There were like 8 issues from a couple of different publishers. Then there was, I think, one extra story when he was in New York. And it really, this is your complete adventure of the Rocketeer, all in one place. And you can pick up the hardcover of this, the regular edition, for $30. It's half off from DCBS. So you get it for $15. It is 144 pages. That's a great deal. And if you're a little more into the Rocketeer like I am, you'll be getting this deluxe edition hardcover. And the deluxe edition is a little larger. So that one's going to be 8 by 12 inches. It's got 100 extra pages of additional sketches and concept designs and layouts and a whole lot of other stuff. And since I have the original Rocketeer comics, just getting the regular hardcover, I've already got that. What I'm going to be buying this for is for explicitly all this extra material. Now, that deluxe edition is $75. However, you get 50% off from DCBS on that one also, so it's only $37.50. In my opinion, well worth it, 248 pages, and I'm really looking forward to diving into and reading this story again and also looking at all of the concept art. And you can see some of the sketches here on page 280 in the previews catalog look really nice, and I'm really looking forward to this book coming out.
Yeah, I think the only Rocketeer comic I have is the movie adaptation. So I don't have the actual original stuff. I was thinking about getting just the plain version of the collection, but I think I am going to go ahead and get that deluxe one. Because, I mean, the whole thing with this is Dave Stevens is just an amazing artist. And it really shows, just like on the pencils or whatever they show for the Rocketeer itself, on the jetpack and stuff on these previews, it's like, I mean, he just does some fabulous line work.
You know, before they were making a movie out of every comic book that comes along, I mean, the fact that Hollywood, you know, saw a couple of issues of this book back, you know, way back when they did this, and, you know, the movie came out in 1991, so it had to have been the 80s when they saw this comic book and were so impressed that they licensed it to make a movie out of it. And a pretty decent adaptation. I mean, the story wasn't the same, but I thought they did a really nice job on the casting as well as that Rocketeer costume in that movie based on the comic. But, you know, this was not a common thing back then. And it really, to me, shows how special this comic was, that a comic that had only had a few issues out got optioned and actually made into a movie.
Well, and I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was well done. And, again, not having read the original, it sure seemed respectful of the material.
It was.
So, I mean, you can't really ask for more than that out of a movie these days, and certainly, you know, back then. So, I'd recommend checking out the movie, too, but that's just me.
Yeah. Yeah, the movie's a great movie. It's fun. You know, it's Disney movie. Disney, it's fun for everyone. You know, you can have your kids watch it. You can watch it. It's set in the, you know, the late 30s, early 40s. It's got Nazis in it, so I guess it's early 40s. Those are always good bad guys to kick around. So.
And it had Billy Campbell as the lead, right?
That's right. And Jennifer Connelly was in it also, playing Betty.
Yeah.
Who, and you know what? Rocketeer, just for another thing on Rocketeer, is responsible for the resurgence of Betty Page. You see Betty Page everywhere, who was like kind of a pinup model in the 50s. Well, it was Dave Stevens, the fact that he liked Betty Page and he drew his Betty character in the Rocketeer comic based on Betty Page. That's why today even you see Betty Page this, Betty Page that. You know, he reintroduced Betty Page in the 80s to a whole new generation of people. Moving on to our next one on page 294, I just wanted to mention, because a lot of people don't make it into the back of the catalog here from Oni Press, we have Stumptown number 1 by Greg Rucka. This is Greg's newest creator-owned property. It's set in Portland. It's got the proprietor of Stumptown Investigations. She's a PI. And she's in Dutch with some, looks like some Indian gambling casino people. And we've got a murder mystery going on and just a noir kind of crime story that, with a strong female protagonist, is definitely Greg Rucka's forte. So I'm going to be right there picking this up as it comes out. And I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware, because a lot of people will not notice this one. And with that, we're going to jump into what's probably one of my favorite publishers right now, and that is Radical Comics, with a clip from Damien.
Hey all, it's Damien back again with my next pick of the month. On page 298 from Radical Comics, we have FVZA, the Federal Vampire and Zombie Agency. This just looks to be bizarre, but sort of I can see the idea of it as well. So this is going to be an interesting one. It's actually 64 pages for $4.99. It's part one of the three issues. And in a world where, you know, where a deadly disease transforms innocent victims into zombies, a long dormant government task force is called into action, the Federal Vampire and Zombie Agency. throughout history, the Civil War to World War II, they've protected humanity from blood-sucking, flesh-eating hordes until a cure is discovered that sent the undead to their graves. How can you go past a book like this? You know, really, it looks to be something really bizarre. I'm sure it's going to be fun. It's written by Dave Hind. It's penciled by Roy Allen Martinez. And what really got me thinking about this, I'd never even knew this before, but you actually can go to fvza.org, and it's actually a whole website dedicated to all this. So, you know, it says it's based on the popular website. It's the first time I'd heard of it. So it's, yeah, I'm interested in this one. I think it will be fun to go through, you know, see what they do with this one. And you can't go wrong with the price. You know, $4.99, you're getting 64 pages. Hey, what's wrong with that? Go check it out. As I said, page 298. And I will be back with my next pick. Back to the guys.
We'll be interviewing David Hein about this book on Friday's episode. And I love having Damien do this one because then I get to hear him say Zed instead of Z. So I always call it F-E-Z-A, but I'm a American, so what do I know?
I thought it was only the Canadians who did the Zed stuff.
The English, the Australians, you know, come from that heritage. Huh. We're just different here. But this book, and, you know, we'll talk about it more on Friday, but I read the first issue of this. I had got a preview of this in advance of our interview with David Hein, and I was totally blown away by this. The art in this, I mean, the penciling's nice. I think it's really the painting by Kinsa Low and Jerry Chu that really take this thing and knock it up several levels. As Spinal Tap would say, this one goes up to 11. If you like vampires and or zombies, you really need to get this book. It is amazing. So with that, we can flip to Damien's next pick.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again with my second last pick for the month, which is going to be the Wicked City novel on page 301. Yeah, the 272 pages at $9.95, so hey, you can't go wrong with something like that. Now, it does say it's actually a novel, so I'm not 100% sure if it's actually going to just be prose in this or not, but Wicked City was one of the original anime that I actually got into back in the early 90s. You know, I started off with things like Cyber City, Uido 808, and Wicked City was one of the ones which I jumped on board, which was a bit bizarre, not as bizarre as the live action. If you ever get the chance to see that for Wicked City, it is just mind-tripping. Someone was smoking something when they, you know, wrote that one. But you actually have sort of the light side and the dark side, and you've got this sort of police force where they've got people from both sides sort of trying to keep down the straight and narrow and stop people from fighting along, you know, for causing issues between the light and the dark and trying to keep the peace. Really interesting concept. Sort of, I like the idea of them doing it as a police force and actually having, you know, the light cop and the bad and the dark cop who actually have to work together to try to get things together. If you haven't seen it before, hey, $19.95 for, you know, 272 pages. How can you go wrong? It's, you know, should be a good read for you. So, page 301, and yes, I know it's a manga. It's coming out from Seven Seas Entertainment, and I know it's coming from me, which is something really unusual. But hey, why not for a change? You know, I enjoyed it with the live action. I enjoyed the actual anime a lot more than live action, but just, as I said, bizarre pinball machine women, people doing things to it. Yeah, you'll get to see it one day, I'm sure. Okay, I'll let you go back to Bob and John, and I will be back for my last pick very soon. Hey guys, it's Damien back from the Cryptographic Podcast with my last pick for the month, which okay, you have people out there, they have their, you know, their Black Rose, Tarot the Black Rose, or whatever that book is. You've got other people that go for all the Zenoscope, TNA, nursery rhyme ones. Well, really, if I'm to pick something along those lines, this is going to be it for me. On page 308, we have Verotic returning. Now, for those of you who didn't know Verotic or never sort of picked up Verotic before, you had Satanica, you had Egrat. That's where the original series of Death Dealer came out, which I absolutely adored that series. Glenn Danzig's the writer. He's actually the owner of the company as well. So if you don't know who Glenn Danzig was, you weren't listening to the same sort of music as I was back in the, you know, 80s and 90s. He actually was the front man for the band Danzig. And, you know, he's done some interesting erotic horror anthology type things. This is actually the original erotic horror anthology returning with new tales. There is an erotic gore tale of Change Face. There's, you know, a brand new Verotica story, and Verotica is one of the characters in there. And you've got some sort of pin-ups going through there as well. You know, it's Verotic. It's Verotic book. I've got to get this one, you know, and if you're anything like me, I'm sure you'll be getting it too. So I've got the majority of the books that came out from Verotic back in the day, and yeah, that's my TNA books, you know, apart from Dawn books, but don't tell Dawn, I won't tell her. Okay, I'll let you go back to the guys. That's it for me this month. As I said, page 308, Verotic returning. It's an expensive book. It's $4.95 for 24 pages, but hey, it's Verotic returning. Okay, back to the guys. I'll speak to you all next month.
And that rounds out our clips for this month.
Yes, it does. And like I said, when I was doing that, one of those things that I was kind of raving about, I originally thought this wasn't going to be a big month, and it wasn't a big month. It was, you know, about the same as last month for me, but there were just several really cool items that I was really excited about coming out in this month. You know, from that monster, and some of them were things that I was just excited because they're really good examples of comics. I don't necessarily need to buy them, you know, like that Monster Society of Evil. I already had that. Hatter M, the Rocketeer Complete Collection, the Uncle Scrooge stuff. I mean, there was just some really nice and cool stuff that came out this month, and it was a good month for comics, I think. There was some really, really high-quality stuff being solicited here this month, and I had a good time looking through the previous catalog this month.
It was a little bit of a quieter month or whatever for me than usual, which is good because it gave me the room and the budget or whatever to pick up like that Shazam Monster Society of Evil, to get the kind of deluxe version of that Rocketeer, whereas other months, if it had been kind of closer to my normal amount going in, I probably would not have gotten either of those. I would have gotten the plane or whatever Rocketeer collection probably, but it allowed me to kind of, you know, get a few things I might not otherwise. So I was glad that it was looking a little lower than usual, and I may use that as an excuse to kind of sneak in some of those Blackest Night action figures. They've got the which ones? They've got Larflees and Star Sapphire this month. And I've dug up the order codes for Atrocitus. They need a pronunciation guide with some of these things. Jeez.
I don't know if that's right, but I always call him Atrocitus based on, like, atrocity.
Yeah, you know? That makes sense. Saint Walker, that one I know I pronounced right. The Indigo Lantern. And then they were going to do a Black Hand in the future. And I know I've already got a couple of Hal Jordans. I just need to see if I have a Sinestro in the yellow costume or not. But
yeah, I'm,
you know,
I'm getting that Larflees, and I'm getting Orisia too. That's the first time they've made an Orisia figure.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of the different Green Lanterns. You know, the different Green Lanterns. You know, I got, like, you know, Kilowog and Tomar Ray, or might be Tomar too. Hard to tell. You know, I've got Nort even. You know,
all yeah, those. I've got a lot of the older ones. Yeah,
But, you know, so Orisi is a good member to add to my Green Lantern Corps. But then for the other corps, I'm just getting the main one. So Larfleeze, Atrocitus, Saint Walker, Indigo. There was an Indigo that was solicited, so if you missed that one, too.
Yeah, no, I said I dug up the order code for that. That was back in April. So I had 177 items this month. Total at retail is $767.27. After discount and shipping, that goes down to $466.99, which is a 39.1% discount through DCBS.
Okay, I had 178 items, so one more than you, and that was $1,230 retail, down to $758 after the discount for a 38.3% discount. And I got to tell you,
that one item was really expensive. No, I'm just kidding.
That $1,000 gold statue. No, I, you know, because I got a couple of Bowen busts. I got the two Marvel Masterworks that, you know, hardcovers that came out this month. And, you know, there were quite a few items. You know, I got that Rocketeer book. I got just, you know, several. It's the hardcovers and statues really that end up popping my total up by, you know, several hundred dollars, you know, and those are things that if I had to, I could just not get those. But, you know, I can, so I do, and I like getting them. So this is fun for me. And, you know, the DCBS discount is really my saving grace, because getting that, you know, close to 40% off on this stuff is really what allows me to make a purchase like this. You know, if I was paying full price, I just wouldn't be getting all this stuff.
Oh, so. Totally. But, I mean, part of, again, the difference, and we see this every month, between what you get and what I get, is I've got very few items that are kind of over that $5 price point. You know, this month I've got, the Shazam, the Rocketeer, the Scrooge McDuck, Life and Times, and the Idiot's Guide to Creating Graphic Novels, and the weekly shipping, and that's it. That's over $5.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, again, you get, again, those busts, which are gorgeous, don't get me wrong, but, you know, that's, you know, more than I spend on some publishers.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I get 25% off on them, which, again, it's a decent discount. But, you know, they're like $60 or $65, so I'm paying $45 for the one, and I'm paying $48.75 for the other. So it's like right there, that's close to $100 just on the two Bowen busts that I'm getting. You know, I'm getting those classic Marvel, the lead figures.
Yeah.
You know, and this month there was Man-Wolf, Icarus from the Eternals, which probably means they're going to start doing the Eternals. And then there's a Kingpin, which is an oversized one that's extra. And between the three of those, you know, retail on those is, you know, $48. I'm paying $36, you know, for the three of them. So, you know, that stuff adds up. You know, you throw in some of these, you know, the Bloom County hardcover, Rocketeer we talked about, and, you know, like I said, those Marvel Masterworks, those are, even after discount, I've got like $63 worth of Marvel Masterworks.
Yeah. So,
you know, I just probably recounted about $300 worth of stuff right there. There's the difference between my order and your order, you know, really.
Well, most of it, though. I mean, because again, you're up by one item, but off by about $500 retail or whatever. Yeah, so. But you got the bookcases and Bowen, you know, bust collection to prove it. You know what I mean? So.
Yep.
Good looking stuff too. So, anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
I think that does it.
Again, open submission policy. If you see stuff in the next previews, which should come out on, I'm going to say, the 26th of August, so in 2 weeks from when this goes up, you know, start sending us clips. You know, you can do it as soon as you start seeing the online solicits, too. We have an open submission policy. We want to have as many different voices, opinions, and tastes in comics represented as possible. Because sometimes, you know, I find out about new stuff just from people sending in clips.
Yeah, and the online solicits should go up. They usually start going up around the middle of the month, so you're going to be listening to this episode probably within a week after this episode goes up. The Marvel, DC, Image, and Dark Horse, at a minimum, they should have their solicits online. And if you go to our forum at comicbookpage.com/forums, you will be able to see a thread that I will have started that will have links to the online solicit.
And that should do it.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.